love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Ayo, Rolando, Eddie, welcome back. It's nice to see your guys' faces.
I know. We haven't been in the same room to record
in real life
in like over a year and a half at this point.
Yeah, since March 2020.
Jeez, look at that. And yeah. We're all together yet again. Hello.
Yes, we're all together and we lived happily ever after. Do you believe in happily ever afters,
Rolando? I mean, I'm living it right now with Eddie.
Aww.
I know, right? Funny. It was almost like I was prompted by Eddie to say that.
Do you, Eddie? Do you believe in happily ever after?
Ever after is always in progress.
Mm. Oh, I like that, actually. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. You can ask me.
Oh, yeah. Do you believe in happily ever afters?
What do you think?
No.
I don't.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think. I mean, I don't believe in happily ever afters either, realistically. I don't know if I've said this on the air before, but I don't think love is real, but it's also hard work.
It's not
work.
Enough.
No, I think it's hard work.
Oh,
love
okay.
is not like, it's not a fairy tale. Like, love is actually putting the work into it. Otherwise, then it's just an idea that you're chasing.
An idea that you're chasing. Love that. Let's run with that as okay. we delve into, I think, a fun episode where we're just going to talk about the Cinderella myth and the folklore as presented on film and television.
Yes.
And this was because of the Amazon one that just came out. So
right.
And that's what prompted it.
We have opinions.
We do. So yes. Let's dig in and share. I am Nicole.
And I am Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. See, we don't have to worry about syncing that up.
Yeah,
because
we don't.
We're in person.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Wow, what a breath of fresh air. So how was your August? How was your summer?
Did we do any? I know I went to Six Flags and that was like a highlight for me because.
Jeez, just what? Six Flags? I mean, that's the highlight.
Well,
I mean, it was nice to be with family and.
Yeah, you got to be with family. I got to ride roller coasters with your nieces,
priorities.
And that was such a highlight for me because your cousin bought a fast pass that she wasn't planning on using. Right, so I got to go on all those rides with the fast pass with the kids, and let me tell you, I am now bougie because anytime I go to Six Flags, it's always gonna be I'm paying the extra $100 for that fast pass because without it, it's just like I'm just gonna be online all day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's you took the word highlight literally.
Yeah.
You get highlight.
Got it. That's funny. ba-dum-boom. Yeah. What else did we do in August? I think we were...
Nothing as memorable as Six Flags.
The reason Six Flags comes to mind is because I do love roller coasters.
They're fun.
Know? Like, that's one of my favorite things to do. Eddie, anything that we did to in August? We went karaokeing. That turned into a nightmare at the end of the evening. Nicole, you were there.
I was there, yeah. I guess I'm the part that made it the nightmare, maybe.
Technically, no. You were not the reason the night extended longer than it should have, but...
I was. That was my fault.
But
yeah.
I think, like, all good things have its
time limits.
Yeah.
It's lesson learned.
Of course. Yes.
Or too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing.
There you go. Perfect. That's a nice way of saying it.
Or the hands, a mic in the hands of the wrong person can be a bad thing.
I'm making it sound like me and Eddie might be the most boring couple on Earth. It's funny. Our weekends are packed, but, like, I don't know. I
think
guess...
we did just a lot of just like spending time with our friends.
Yeah.
And our families. Like, you know, these like weekends of just like getting together, eating, going for dinner. And
Sounds like time well spent.
Right.
Honestly.
I would say so. How about you, Nicole?
I did so much. I moved out of my apartment.
Well,
that's a highlight because that was like the one of the smoothest moves.
Seriously.
I've ever participated in.
Yeah, and that's the day we went to Six Flags also.
Yeah.
so
the two highlights of our summer happened on the same day.
Yeah, I went on vacation to the beach. You know, been doing some hangouts with friends and family too. So I just had a lot of big things, I think, happen. You know, I didn't ride any roller coasters though. So
That's a shame.
Yeah,
roller coasters are so much fun.
Yeah,
especially the Six Flags one. If they ever want to sponsor us, I'll start a podcast just reviewing roller coasters. I mean, it'll be like 7 episodes, I guess. But
this is true. I'm sure there's many podcasts already about roller coasters. Oh, you should guest star on them.
I'm sure. Oh yeah, totally. If anyone wants to have me on, totally.
Oh, we should do like a special episode on remakes and reboots of roller coasters because they have done that.
Is that a thing?
We can make it a thing.
We've never even done the episode I wanted to do about video games.
Well, I mean, you brought it up once. I
did. And it was squashed almost immediately.
I used my vetoes a little too much, but...
The other thing I want to shout out, though, is, Nicole, you started a web series.
I did. Oh, I thank you. I started a web series available on Instagram and on TikTok. It's on my name, at Nicole Pometti, P-O-M-E-T-T-I. And it's one-minute film history things where I tell you a reason why you should watch a particular film. And it's called You Should Watch This.
Yes. So everyone go check it out.
Actually taking her recommendations.
Oh, yeah, we have. We saw Dante's Inferno.
You did? Yeah, we did. I haven't released that one yet as of this episode, but hopefully it will be out this September. And that's just so exciting that you guys did that. That means a lot to me. I know. And I shared it with another friend of ours, and he watched one of the films that I mentioned in it. So it's really, it's a lot that people actually go and watch these movies.
Yeah, totally.
So I appreciate that. So yeah, so if you can check out that show, it's 1 minute long and hopefully it's entertaining and will inspire you to watch a new film. But we're not talking about any of those films today. Today we're talking about one of the oldest stories that's ever been told.
Yeah, it's a very common archetype.
Yeah, right? It's been around for like hundreds of years. I was gonna say thousands, but
it is
hundreds.
It's thousands.
Is it thousands?
Yes. Yeah, because of
what's the earliest that we could trace it back to?
Egypt.
Get the hell out of here, Egypt. Yeah. Really? This is great. We're talking about Cinderella.
All the way back to Egypt.
So everybody knows Cinderella, right? And it's interesting because, like, I didn't know. I thought... Sorry, I just wanted to make sure he was okay because I heard that noise.
Yes, if you hear the dog in the background, guys, because we're all... This time we're all in one room, so Nico is here with us. He had a great summer.
He did. As we said, this story goes back many, many years. I thought it was only hundreds. You say it's thousands, but it's so interesting too, because when we think of Cinderella, what do you think of when you think of Cinderella? What makes the Cinderella story Cinderella?
For me, it's the glass slipper, because the first iteration of Cinderella I ever saw was the Disney one.
The Disney one, yeah.
So that is the first thing that comes to mind. Mm. The slipper may not always be glass, is what I learned though in college. But the next thing that comes to mind is Rags to Riches, right? So Glass Slipper comes first, but Rags to Riches story.
Okay.
And that's what is the most common unifying theme.
And what about you, Eddie? What do you think of? What makes Cinderella Cinderella to you?
The abuse.
Oh,
really? So just dark. Wait. Yeah, I just think of it. I don't know where it popped in my head, but just a sense of like her being... just being abused by her stepmother and her stepsisters.
Yeah.
You know, constantly being made to serve them and even feel bad about herself.
Yes, that is definitely, to me also, I do associate that with Cinderella as well. You know, it's interesting because there was an article that I read that came out when the Disney one came out, the 2015 movie.
Right, which I have not seen. Full disclosure, everyone.
Yeah, I guess I'll say it. I haven't seen it either. So the article is called A Girl, A Shoe, A Prince, The Endlessly Evolving Cinderella. And the author is Linda Holmes, and she goes into... She actually did a lot of research for this, so I'm going to be calling to it.
I'm familiar with the name.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with NPR, then you might be familiar with Linda Holmes. It's a really great article, and she actually brought forward my attention to a book that was published in 1893 called Cinderella, 345 Variants of Cinderella, Catskin and Capo Rushes, abstracted and tabulated with a discussion of medieval analogs and notes. That's the title of the book.
I had to read a portion of that book in college. Yes, in contemporary literature.
So the oldest is in Egypt.
The oldest is Egyptian. Yes.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I don't remember. I know we covered. We didn't read the Egyptian story. The one that we really focused on was the Chinese story, which goes by a different name, like Zhe Ying.
Okay.
I think. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. But the Chinese story, she is a young, you know. I want to say that the Egyptian version is related to a pharaoh. So it's a pharaoh, and then she's like a commoner who ends up like, you know, getting betrothed to the pharaoh.
Okay.
Right? And in the Chinese version, I want to say it's more, a little more fantastical. So if I remember correctly, she is like a common, like a farm girl in this one kingdom, kind of being abused by her stepmother. I don't remember their stepsisters. And one day when, one day, I think a magic fish gives her like these magic slippers that turn her into a beauty, right? And when she wears them, she ends up meeting this king from another kingdom who he ends up falling in love with her and like sweeps her off her feet. They end up together and they punish the mom. I think they brutally like stone her. Either you stone her or birds come picking her eyes or something. I don't, there's a version of one of these Cinderellas where like birds pick the eyes of the step family, right? And that's the thing, right? Like a lot of these stories, they end up having some real violence towards the stepmother.
Yeah.
Which is a common trope. It's always a stepmom or a mother.
There is, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. It's like when you look at some of the earliest ones, because, you know, with this article, I didn't have time to go back and read all these folklores, but, you know, she brings to my attention that there's an Italian one of a girl born in a gourd. Born in a gourd. I just want to, because that's kind of like a tongue twister, so I don't want to say that. Like
James and the Giant Peach?
Kind of, yeah. And in that one, she does meet the prince, and then they give each other gifts and stuff, and it's pretty much the same Cinderella story outside of it, but that one's more, instead of boy meets girl, it's boy meets gourd. She makes a joke. And that one's called Zucchettina, like a zucchini.
Oh.
There's a version of the same story, but in Greek, and she's called Little Saddle Slut.
She's a saddle slut?
Saddle slut.
So she is a slut for horses?
I guess so.
I don't...
I didn't read this one, but again, this is one of the variants, and that's in Greece.
Okay.
Little saddle slut.
All right. You Greeks out the Greeks, there, let me tell you.
There's Catskin. That one's about a hardworking girl who meets a prince at a ball while in disguise, and then she's recognized and rescued from her terrible life. Catskin? It's English.
Oh, okay.
Look at that.
Okay, yeah.
So there's just, like, so many of them, and that's the thing, too, is that they all kind of, like, are... They bring in different things, but there's the core that remains. There's a girl who's abused, you know, and she goes and she falls in love, or she attends an event in disguise, and then she is saved from her life and pretty much in like misery and ruins.
Right.
And sometimes the people or the amount of people who are there change, whether it's just the woman, if it's her father too. Sometimes the father is there.
Yes.
He was present in the Grimm's fairy tale version.
Oh, see, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, he's there, but
I don't remember.
He's too drunk and, you know, aloof. He's not a present father that he doesn't even care about the fact that the stepmother's treating his daughter terribly. And in the Grimm's one, there's no fairy godmother. She goes and she prays to her mother's grave, and it's her mother who brings her, you know, her wishes that come true.
Interesting. I wonder where we started getting the idea of the fairy godmother. It has to be like a Christian thing.
So the one that we know in America that we turn to as like the Cinderella is actually a French one. It was published in 1697 by the French writer Charles Perrault. And this one is called Cendrillon. I'm trying to say that really French. I hope I said it right. But it brings together all the stuff that we know from the Disney movie, which is the fairy godmother, transformed pumpkin, glass slipper, midnight spell. That's all in the 1697 French version.
What about the talking mice?
That one I think might have been a Disney edition.
Oh, I see. All right. Well,
so a lot of the most like what we know today, like the Cinderella from Disney and then the Cinderella from Rodgers and Hammerstein or Ever After, I think it's a combination of the Grimm's one and then this Charles Perrault from 1697.
Right.
So again, the one that is in the Grimm's, there's no fairy godmother. It's her mother. It's not one night. Actually, that I think is just a Disney thing. Most of the other versions of Cinderella happen over the courses of three nights at the ball.
Oh, it's a three-night ball?
It's a three-night ball.
That's a little lavish party, huh?
Yeah. And the father is present in the Grimm's one.
Is the Grimm's one? Maybe the Grimm's one is the one where they're punished by the birds coming and pecking their eyes out.
Yes, that is the Grimm's one. Okay. Yes.
I knew there was a version that I read that had the pecking of the eyes.
I thought you were talking about Cinderella when you brought that up, but that is the Grimm's one. And also in that one, it's a lot more violent in terms of the desperation that the mother takes for her daughters to wear the glass slipper. She cuts off the toe and the heels and stuff. That's in the Grimm's one.
Yeah.
And a lot of the reason why I know this one is because do you know Into the Woods? No. The musical by Stephen Sondheim?
Never seen it.
Oh, that's a shame. You should see it. The Broadway production, not the movie. At least watch the Broadway production.
Aren't there two movies?
So they filmed the Broadway production in 1987, and then they made a Disney movie in 2014.
Well, what's wrong with the Disney movie?
It's just not as good as the Broadway production.
Oh, fine, but like, is it still a good movie?
It's okay. Oh, as I love
James Corden is in it.
That's right. James Corden's in all of these Cinderella things, and for some reason, it's like, why is he always in Cinderella?
Yes. Oh, quick question: was Cinderella in that show that we love?
Once upon a time?
The character Cinderella, yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting, too, because Cinderella has been around for so long that it's become part of, I feel like, American vernacular.
Yeah.
Like, there's such a thing as a Cinderella story.
Right.
What is a Cinderella story?
The rags to riches story.
Kind of.
I would say that's...
A Cinderella... I feel like Cinderella, yes, it's rags to riches, but it's also somebody who something great that happens to somebody else, right? It never happens to us. Nobody says, I had my Cinderella story. You always look at someone and go, that's a Cinderella story.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I get
it. It could also, your rags to riches is solely money. It could be other stuff.
Usually with the Cinderella story, it's the reason is because she went from like a servant girl, granted she was serving her family, to riches. I'm thinking...
This is true.
I'm thinking like Princess Diana. I'm thinking Meghan Markle. I'm thinking of
You're thinking of royalty too.
Well, yeah. I'm literally talking about royalty, right? Because those are always called Cinderella stories. And even though, I mean, you know, Princess Kate was kind of groomed to become a queen, right? Like her parents were grooming her to it. So, I mean, they're not rags to riches, but I don't have like... Now they have royal money, so...
Yeah. You know?
So, I guess it's a new level of wealth. And Meghan Markle was also considered, like, a Cinderella story.
Would you consider somebody who, you know, like, grew up in, like, poverty and, you know, has to fight their way through, you know, bad jobs and people, like, always, you know, giving them a definition of who they were and then, like, going to college and finally after, like, being, like, 60 years old and finally becoming a doctor or something, would you say that's a Cinderella story?
No. I think Cinderella also has to have that you marry into it.
So marriage is a key part of Cinderella's
romance
story.
Romance is a key part.
And romance.
I think it's
and
like,
royalness. Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be royal, but like it's so you could, it's like, let's take your example, right? You're in college, you're working your way through, and then you marry, I don't know, the head of the CDC, and he gets you the job that you've dreamt of. That's a Cinderella story.
So, so a person.
Because you didn't work for it. I mean, you might have been working for it, but how you got it, though, is because of
interesting. So, but is that your own read of privilege that you're putting in there? Or?
I mean, if you look at all the Cinderella stories, it's all. She ends up. She was struggling, but her struggles have nothing to do with her rewards at the end. That's because she just, like, you know, let the rich guy slip it in.
You know? Good pun. True. I guess to me, too, it's also there's like a magical element sometimes, at least in our own minds. Like, oh, that person, you know, started their own business and they seem to have done it kind of by luck. That's a Cinderella story, you know, where you can't really say pinpoint what it is that like made this person go from point A, which was not that great, to point B, which is really great. That to me is a Cinderella story. And it's always it's never you, you know, like, oh, I'm a this story. Yeah. Like you always point at other people and say, that's a Cinderella story.
I mean, there was Cinderella Man, right?
Yes, there was. And
he
who was
a boxer,
Cinderella Man?
The boxer. James Braddock.
Why was he called that?
Because he was poor. I never saw the movie. I don't know.
You know, it's so funny because he was actually from the town over in North Bergen.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's why there's a statue of him in the park.
Yeah, Jim Braddock Park.
I'm actually against that statue, though.
Why?
Because they kind of took away the land from the... But a lot of immigrant men would have that lawn and play soccer on it. And I feel like the town came in and put up a statue on purpose to, like, kick these... poor immigrant men out of there.
Oh, wow. Look at
that.
That's
my read on it. But they did that to a lot of spaces in the park that were constantly being played soccer on.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm not here for James Braddock. I blame James Braddock for that, so.
Even though he's dead.
Yeah, well, you know what? May you burn in hell.
So, So I got a very simple definition. So, but it's more of an American thing.
Mm-hmm.
That Americans will call anything a Cinderella story that involves a good thing happening to someone nice.
To someone nice. Oh. Wow. So interesting.
That's it. So we don't have to be even poor or anything.
No. Oh, okay. So that's the thing too, is that Cinderella is just like the nicest gal. It couldn't happen to a nice guy.
I mean, she's
guy.
Like a water cracker, right? Like she's just...
Well, I mean...
Is
it's
that
some...
a saying?
I don't... I've never heard
oh,
that.
Okay.
Water cracker.
A water cracker?
Firecracker?
Milk toast?
No, not a... Like milk toast. Yes. Okay, oh, maybe. Okay. She's like milk toast. Thank you. That's better.
Yes. Well, in some versions she is. In this other version she's not. She certainly is in the Disney one.
Yes.
I would say. Personally,
there's two Disney ones, three technically.
Yeah, this is true. Well, now let's actually talk about some film versions of Cinderella, because that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, let's talk about
so
Cinderella.
I actually wanted to show you guys some, because with, you know, YouTube being a thing, you can actually access a lot of early 20th century cinema on YouTube. And, you know, people don't utilize this enough. You should always, if you're interested in film and you're interested in the history of film, you should go to YouTube and you should just kind of like go on like a one of those things where you just slip in. What is that called? You should just like go down a hole, rabbit hole or whatever.
A rabbit hole.
They call it that.
Well, I don't want to give YouTube money because I don't trust how Google...
Well, I mean, it's spends. Free.
No, it's not, because they're collecting your data and then they're selling it to the black market.
I mean, hey... Everything you use in this day. We can't single out YouTube for doing something that everyone else does.
But I will, to make a point on this podcast.
So, Georges Méliès,
Google's gonna flag
in 1899, did a film version of Cinderella.
Oh, why does the name sound familiar?
Georges Méliès, because I actually spoke about him in one of my, yes. You should watch this. He's known for doing A Trip to the Moon.
Right.
And he does trick films, and he was, you know, he did like magic on cinema and stuff.
Oh, it's in color.
And yeah, that was back in the day where people would literally go and
color
and hand
frame by
color
frame.
Every frame. Yes.
That's cute.
So this was so successful in 1899, and Georges Méliès was very successful among like the first 15 years of the 20th century, that he actually remade this film. In 1912, and he called it The Glass Slipper. And it's a little longer, and by, you know, 12 years later, cinema had advanced and stuff. But so Georges Méliès, already in France, you know, they're making Cinderella movies right as soon as they know how to make movies, essentially.
So wait, what am I watching?
Oh, this is just film version of it. I could show, like, obviously it's one shot.
Yeah, right.
You know, so there's some scenes that you might find familiar and whatnot, but they
is
pretty
that,
much just right, tell the
this,
story.
Is this the ball?
Okay. This is her trying on the glass slipper.
Oh, okay. Guys, we're really doing a great job with audio here.
I didn't want to play it because I didn't want this to pick it up.
That's fair.
But you know what? For this next one, I will play some audio, because this one is by a German filmmaker called Lotte Reiniger. And she was known for doing shadow puppetry. And I think she's a marvelous filmmaker. And I just want you guys to look at how fucking cool her version of Cinderella is. This was in 1922.
22.
And I might even do like a, you should watch this about it, because it's just, to me, the coolest.
Oh, you should. You
right,
woke
I
up, Nico.
The whole thing, obviously, but.
Oh, it's like shadow puppets. That's awesome.
Yes, that's what I said.
Did you say that?
I did.
Oh my God.
So she did this. She did this all by hand.
What a labor of love.
Yeah, this is what she did, actually. And I mean, this is pretty impressive. This is also like, I don't think I could do anything to this extent 100 years later, and I'm like, wow, she could do stuff that I can't do personally, you know.
Tim Burton's looking at this and saying, watch me.
Tim Burton, wow, he should have directed that Disney version. Imagine what that would have been like.
Why? I didn't even like the Alice in Wonderland. I never even seen it, but I didn't want to after looking at the trailer. So.
Well, we saw Dumbo. What did you think of Dumbo?
I was like, eh.
Oh, I kind of, I mean, I like, sometimes he can bring an interesting thing to it. There were some interesting elements.
There were, I remember, but it was still at the end of the day, was like, eh.
Okay. All right, so really quick, too, in 1914, American superstar Mary Pickford starred in Cinderella.
Uh-huh.
Mary Pickford was America's first sweetheart, and everybody loved her.
America's was, first sweetheart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was the biggest star.
Who is our reigning sweetheart right now? Yeah, I don't know either. I'm asking you. I'm not asking, like, if I know. I'm asking, like, I don't know.
The last one I knew was Jennifer Lawrence, but I don't think it's her anymore.
Oh, I don't think it's Jennifer anymore.
Yeah, so I don't know who the internet's in love with now.
Is that Emma Stone either?
No, I think she had her reign before.
Okay.
Anyway, if you're out there, the earliest one that we should talk about, and one of the most prolific ones, will be the Disney's 1950s version of it.
Yes, 1950. I can't believe it's that old.
That old.
Because I remember when I saw it in the 90s, I felt like it was like, wow, this is so new. This is so fresh. This is so...
It's very well animated.
Yeah, it is.
It's beautifully animated. And this was during the Renaissance of Disney, right? Because, yes. So, you know, Disney started as a feature-length company with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And that was like, everyone was amazed by it.
I thought Disney Renaissance was 90s.
No, so there was many renaissances. Oh, well, we're actually going really, through oh, one again. Renaissance. Well, I mean, it depends.
Just using that word.
Maybe we'll say golden age. How about that?
Okay, fine. That I'm okay with.
So Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs comes out in 1937. Everyone's blown away. And then, you know, Bambi, Dumbo. And then America goes to war. And Disney can't produce that kind of caliber. But also Disney became unionized and he had a bitter entanglement with his workers, and that really fucked them over in the 40s.
Do you think he couldn't do any work during the war because he was kind of maybe pro-Nazi, and like he was just like, well, I can't make pro-Nazi stuff in America.
That too. Actually, the 40s really did kind of corrupt Disney, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because before then, people actually really loved him, and they thought he was a great guy, and they enjoyed working for him, and then after that, he completely ruined all of his relationships.
Showed he was a Nazi sympathizer. It's just like, whoa.
But then that's also when he did... You know, he expanded Disney and he made it the conglomerate that it pretty much is, you know, which rules the world
and
now.
If he were around now, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's like, damn, I did a good fucking job.
Like, yeah, like nowadays he'd be like, yeah. Sign me up, Trump.
That, yes, actually, very good point. Anyway, so Disney wasn't doing that great. I think in 1949 they had the Adventures of Ichabod and Toad, and that just wasn't what, you know, they were like, it wasn't what Disney wanted his films to be.
That was Sleepy Hollow, right?
It was essentially Sleepy Hollow, yeah.
I don't know what the Toad, where did the Toad come from?
I actually never saw it.
Oh, all Disney animated.
I was supposed to, we scrapped that, because after Pinocchio it was too much. Pinocchio's hard. That's what? A hard movie.
That's a good movie.
It's kind of disturbing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the kids turn into jackasses, that is a pretty disturbing sequence.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's sad and it's fucked up and all this stuff. So it's hard. It's a hard one.
I don't... A hard one.
We're going to have to cover it, though, so I'm going to have to
Are they making an actual live action?
Tom Hanks.
Is Geppetto? Wow. I can't believe that we're in an age where Tom Hanks is old enough to be Geppetto.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, so, you know, Cinderella was just like, we need to, you know, all right, the war's over. Disney needs to recuperate itself and Disney needs to start making high caliber movies. And Walt went back to like classic literature and fairy tales. You know, he was like, these are the stories that I want to tell. You know, that's when in the 50s we got Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, Lady and the Tramp, which whatever, Sleeping Beauty, right? Mm-hmm. So like some of their most prolific films that have really stood the test of Disney time.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started with Cinderella in 1950. So it was a very important film in terms of Disney's reign. And it's one that is still referenced in Disneyland. You know, it's still... Cinderella's Castle. It was the first live action remake. You know, now they're remaking all of them.
Oh, wait, listen. Cinderella Castle, I'm sorry, is Disney World.
Disneyland. Disney World is Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, Disney World is Sleeping Beauty? Mm-hmm. Aurora's Castle?
That's Aurora's Castle, ugh. Yeah.
That's a whack castle.
Disney World?
Disney World. Oh, no.
You're thinking of Disneyland. That's Cinderella's Castle.
Cinderella Castle is whack. Cooler. Wait, I'm sorry. Which is Disney World? Aurora. Yeah, that's a whack one to... It's
way bigger and more beautiful.
I'm talking the castle itself, but I thought it was Cinderella's castle.
No, it's that.
Because Cinderella's Disneyland. A way better princess to have than Aurora.
Well, when Disney... You also, I guess, but 1955 is when Disneyland debuted. Sleeping Beauty wasn't even a movie yet.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
So, it's... Yeah, and okay. They just... Well, I that guess, checks out. I don't know, whatever. Okay. So, I recently rewatched Cinderella earlier this year.
Oh.
And I was taken aback by how I felt like there really wasn't a plot to the movie. I feel like the first half of the movie, you just kind of see her situation.
Right.
You see that her father died and left her to these terrible women.
You don't see that. They just told you that in the beginning.
Well, I mean, you also visually see it.
You see the abuse.
So, yeah.
But like,
you do see it, Rolando.
At no point did I see her father die.
We know that her father died
right.
And left her to these women. Yes. And that these women are terrible. There's absolutely no redeeming quality about them.
Right.
And you just get to see how terrible they are to her. And Cinderella is just, like you said, milquetoast.
Mm-hmm. Eddie said that.
Eddie said milquetoast.
Yeah.
I called her a watercracker.
You did.
Which I don't
watercracker milquetoast. And she, you know, befriends mice, and mice can talk to her. And then there's even, like, we focus a lot on these mice and their dynamics and Gus Gus being introduced to them.
Oh, my God. Gus Gus's introduction is one of my favorite things because I will reference that a lot. There's, like, this, there's just a way that, like, Gus is just so panicked in the Little Mousetrap.
Yes.
That, like, that look of terror. Sometimes I have seen it in people's eyes for the most mundane things. You know, I feel like I've had that look sometimes just when friends invite you. It's like, hey, do you want to go here? And I'm just like, that's my look. Gus Gus. Trapped in the little mouse rat.
Beautiful cage. Commentary. Thank you for sharing.
Hey, yeah. We all know the look.
He's we so do know scared. The look. If you've seen the film, you know the look. Yeah, and then, like, we spend a lot of time with the mice, and just, you know, they help her sew a dress and all this stuff. Nothing really happens until, late, like, the last half of the movie, and then everything happens.
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, I guess you're right, there is no plot, because all we're just following. It's basically just, like, character study is a deep word to use here, but it's a character portrait?
I guess.
I don't know.
I would agree with you if they gave Cinderella any sort of characteristics sure. of who she was as a person.
I mean, to be honest, I remember watching this movie, though. It was usually for Lady Tremaine that I was watching it.
Lady Tremaine, yeah.
Tremaine, yeah. Yeah. I even named a Dungeons and Dragons character after her because she's
terrible.
Favorite.
Oh, she's absolutely terrible. They put more effort into making... So the women are either terrible or vapid in this film.
She's both.
You think Lady Tremaine is vapid?
Well, she's only concerned about, like, the stature of her daughters and stuff, right? Like,
yes, but, and then, you know, therefore her own stature, mm-hmm. and, you know, her jealousy of Cinderella, mm-hmm. who is just, you know, comparatively the way she's drawn, she's just pure, beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't need a personality because she's beautiful.
Right. I mean,
the other girls are ugly, but they have personalities. So she's just jealous of that, you know, because she herself is also kind of ugly and she's old and stuff. So it's about also her jealousy and her treachery.
And her cat, Lucifer.
Yes. These people do not like cats that made this film, that animated this film.
Oh, wait, why? Lucifer was only just doing whatever the bidding of this girl.
Yeah. Well, cats are, I feel like, always more villainous than they are good.
Yeah, because cats have no hearts.
You need to stop. I will not sit for this cat hate.
My favorite scene, though, from that movie, though, is when the girls are just ripping the clothes off of Cinderella.
Yeah, and even having a lot of fun, yeah.
That always was so mean and dark, that
it's,
moment.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
Mm-hmm. But it's such a good moment.
It is. Well, so it's interesting, too, because in this NPR article, she writes that this film is pretty much about one man who leaves his daughter to the treachery of other women, and the only thing that can save her from the treachery of other women is another man.
But the father didn't know that they were going to be, like, complete bitches.
Well, it's more so the dynamics of, you know, where the man comes into play, right? He's not there for the abuse. It's all at the hands of women. Mm-hmm. If her father was alive, this wouldn't be happening. And she loved her father, and there was a great relationship that she had with her father.
Well, this
so that is a good male figure. The women, all the other women figures are bad. Yeah. And then the next good figure that comes in is another man. Well, so it's actually, just an interesting
it is, about actually, women. Which actually brings up the most important question, which I will ask you as mm-hmm. a woman. Don't women usually just tear each other down? Aren't women always raised to tear each other down? So isn't this just doing what... Isn't this just perpetuating that?
So, you know, I'm not offended by that question, even though I should be.
Why?
I'm offended.
In theory, it sounds offensive, but you are right. Women are taught to not like each other. And yeah. I think that a big reason that we're taught that are Disney movies. Because when you look at Disney movies, all the buddy movies are boy movies. Mm-hmm. All the girls are alone. All the girls are also made alone by other women, right? Who was Ariel's villain? Ursula. Right? Mm. Who was Cinderella's? Lady Tremaine. Who was Alice in Wonderland's? The Queen. Right? Mm-hmm. So very rarely do boys have to deal with this. I think Aladdin's one of the only ones that has to deal with, like, Jafar and stuff.
Well, yeah, but he was still
Like, all of the villains are usually for women.
I was going to say, because even for Peter Pan... Well, Peter Pan is Hook, but... But even Wendy had beef with Tiger Lily.
Yeah, see? They couldn't be friends. So, and that's the thing. Who are girls' friends? Mice. Raccoons. Right. Fish, right? Inanimate objects.
Or dwarves.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Snow White and the Queen. So we're taught that we're alone, that we can't trust, especially other women, and that the only thing that can save us is the love of a man. I can't tell you how many times I've heard girls tell me that they're waiting for their Prince Charming.
Well, those girls tend to be kind of like brain dead already, right?
Well,
can you save them?
And there's many reasons that people believe in these things. You know, they grew up on these movies and we're taught that happily ever after is something that we can actually attain, which is also why I don't like Happily Ever After, because I think people have heard it so many times in their movies that they think, oh, that's how my life should play out. Right. That's why people are so obsessed with weddings and getting married and all this stuff. And there's marriage is a beautiful thing, but it's also your life doesn't end after that.
Right.
And people don't think past that.
Right. No,
you know,
true.
Now what do you do in the marriage? You have to put work in and it's hard. Like you said, love is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this whole thing that we're ignoring about what the reality of life is. And I do think that Disney is to blame for that, because Disney is also all about your dreams. When you wish upon a star, a dream is a wish your heart makes once upon a dream. It's all about dreaming and that you'll be happy when your dreams come true. And I think that's a lie.
Wow, this is a lot of like anti-Disney talk for someone who loves Disney World so much.
Well, so here's the thing too. It's like, we're also... I think a lot of people of my generation, at least, think that all the oldest tales that have ever been told all begin with Once Upon a Time and end in Happily Ever After. And it's not true. This year, I recently got into Greek mythology.
Mm.
And I, you know, learned a lot about stories like the Odyssey and the Iliad. And these are, they're not Happily Ever Afters. And these are actually some of the most honest fucking stories I've ever heard about human beings, right? Odysseus, the Odyssey. This is a guy who goes to war for 10 years.
I was going to say, are they humans? Aren't they demigods? I
guess they're not. No, Odysseus is a man.
Right.
He goes to war for 10 years, and it takes him 10 years to get back home. And the whole thing about the Odyssey is that 10 years of him fighting, pleading, wanting so desperately to get home, that longing for home, thinking, I'll be happy once I'm home. And once he gets home, he's not happy. And he actually goes kind of mad. And he realizes that there is no connection that he can make anymore with this thing that he's wanted for so long.
Yeah.
It's real. That's what reality does to us. That is an honest like story that's being told to us. And this is one of the oldest stories that's ever told. Even Shakespeare, right? I mean, how many Shakespeare stories ended in happy endings? Not many, right? These are some of the oldest stories are presenting us with reality. Only till recently, I feel like, especially in the 20th century, did we say, no, fuck reality. We need to bring finality to our stories. And these finalities need to be positive that ignore everything else.
Well, don't you think that pop culture is going the opposite way, where they're kind of bringing... I think they're showing the banality of life. And they're kind of showing... I mean, I would say... I would argue that now we're in the era where, like, we're really exploring more so how life is either banal or how there are no such things as happy endings.
Yes, I think in the 21st century, in our postmodern generation, you know, we were told all these things, and now we're like, oh, wait, there is such a thing as Happily Ever After. That's why Into the Woods is so great, because Act 1 is everyone's story up until Happily Ever After, and Act 2 is what happens after Happily Ever After, because there always is that. And we're realizing, too, like, I like that a lot of the stuff we watch now are more open-ended.
Mm.
You know, they don't give us an answer. They don't set a picture for us. It asks more questions than it gives answers. I like that. But this is from a time when that wasn't the case. And I think that's what people like about it is this finality. I think Cinderella is one of the most, you know, synonymous with Happily Ever After and like kind of like this is what happens to you when you're good and like in the simplest terms. And I think that Disney is kind of responsible for creating it in that way for Americans, 20th century, baby boomers and up. Like all these generations associate Cinderella and fairy tales with that.
Did you know that Cinderella had 2 sequels?
Yes, I did, actually.
Did you see any of them?
No, I did not.
Can I tell you a little bit about number 3, which is... like,
which one is that?
Something to do with time travel.
Wait, hold on. I was told about this... I think it was the second one where it was actually the point of view of one of the stepsisters.
I think that's probably the second one.
Okay, yeah.
So the third one is where the stepsisters are now doing work and manual labor. They stumble upon the fairy godmother's wand. So Lady Tremaine uses the wand to turn back time and makes the redheaded sister fall in love with the prince.
Wow.
And stuff. And now it's an adventure to set things right by Cinderella and the prince.
Look at that. It's just a vengeful old cow.
So happily ever after, no more.
I'm just saying. Happily ever after, question mark.
Right.
Okay. Well, needless to say, Cinderella was a big hit, and people are still watching Cinderella.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when that Disney Vault movie came out, my parents bought it up, and, like, I watched it a lot because the animation was so great, and mm-hmm. Bippity Boppity Boop is...
It's a good song.
A bop, yeah.
True, but I think that if I were to talk about bops from Cinderella, I would talk more about the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella.
Is that the Brandy?
Yeah, so actually the first version was in 1955 with the 21-year-old Julie Andrews.
Oh, I didn't know Julie Andrews was Cinderella.
Yes, so Rodgers and Hammerstein were huge. You know, they completely redefined Broadway in the 40s. So obviously their efforts would be desired in movies and TV. Mm-hmm. They only made one movie that where they wrote the score for the film, and they made one for direct-to-television musical, which was Cinderella.
Mm.
So this direct-to-TV musical of Cinderella was rebooted twice, or redid twice. Once in 1970, I believe, with Leslie Ann Warren, and then again in 1998 with Brandy.
Yes, which was supposed to be Madonna, Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, yes. Yeah, but then she became the fairy godmother, yes.
Yeah, because she was too old when it finally got greenlit. She was just like, well, I can't be Cinderella anymore. So.
Yes, and that was a good choice because she was great. Fairy godmother.
She was a great fairy godmother.
And I think that their song is better than Bibbidi Bobbidi Boop. Wow. Impossible.
Impossible is a fine song, but it is no Bibbidi Bobbidi Boop.
It's... Are you kidding me?
Bibbidi Bobbidi Boop is so much better.
Okay, we're home. We're going to sing Impossible right now. Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage.
I didn't know those
Impossible.
Lyrics. I thought it was I thought it was like Impossible.
For a plain country pumpkin and a prince to join in marriage. Blumpkin, whatever. And four white men can never make four white horses. Such falderall and fiddly-dee, of course, is impossible. But bam, bam, bam. But the world is full of zanies and fools.
You know how I know that Bibbidi Bobbidi Boop is a better song?
Come on, this is such a good song.
Because it's on TikTok and people use it for transitions.
Checkmate.
And then they go boo, right? And it's like usually someone's scary makeup or something. That's the TikTok.
You brought TikTok up, so you checked it.
I win.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But, you know, this Rodgers and Hammerstein one, I love the music from it. It has got so many great songs, like 10 Minutes Ago I Saw You. That's what the princess to Cinderella. They also sing this great song called Do I Love You Because You're Beautiful or Are You Beautiful Because I Love You?
I don't remember that song. Was that in Brandy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do I love you because you're beautiful?
Wow, you really do like this.
I love it. Okay. I love Rodgers and Hammerstein. I'm a whore for musicals. They also sing, Why Would a Fellow Want a Girl Like Her?
I remember.
That's the Stepsisters' Lament.
Yeah.
And Cinderella has a song called In My Own Little Corner. In my own little corner, in my own little chair, I can be whatever I want to be.
The only song I really do remember is Impossible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and... Yeah. Stepsisters, you said you knew.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
well, right. So...
I mean, I don't know as well, but Impossible. I mean, it's also Whitney Houston just belting it out and, like, you know, glowing in gold.
That is memorable for sure. So in 1950s, Disney's Cinderella, she sang, A dream is a wish your heart makes. You know, just like, oh, she just wants out.
Wait,
right?
That wasn't... I thought that was Snow White.
No, Snow White is, I know you, I thought of you once upon a dream.
They all melt together. All right.
Now you're getting me second guessing myself. Let me make sure. I'm pretty sure Once Upon a Dream is Sleeping Beauty because that's the Tchaikovsky.
Not Sleeping
Yeah,
Beauty.
It's Sleeping Beauty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, no. Oh, I'm thinking Someday My Prince Will Come.
That's Snow White.
Snow White.
Yeah, they all kind of sound the same.
Yeah.
But so in that one, you know, it's just like, oh, I dream and I want this and it's a wish and I hope I get it, right? But we get a little bit more of Cinderella as a character, I think, in the song and in the Rodgers and Hammerstein version, In My Own Little Corner. Because mm-hmm. she actually has things she wants to do. She wants to have an adventure, mm-hmm. right? She doesn't want just out. She actually wants to be someone who has, like, a life full of experiences. So already the Cinderella has more of a personality than the Disney one does.
I don't know, because the other Cinderella is hanging away with mice. I think that's pretty cool and adventurous, if you ask me.
That's true. you know, it's definitely not all in her head that these mice are talking to her.
I actually never thought about that, but you're right. She's crazy.
I think that's them being nice about the fact that she's crazy. That's why she's so happy, though.
Yeah, you heard it here, guys. Remakes, reboots, and revivals. Here's a film theory.
Ella's Cinderella, insane, yeah.
Yeah, she's straight up crazy.
Yeah. And then the Rodgers and Hammerstein, obviously, because it's a three-night ball. We see more of a relationship building between the prince and Cinderella.
How do you party for three nights? Is it three nights?
What a banger.
You got to keep... What?
I said, what a banger.
Oh, I thought you said he wanted a banger. I'm like, well, I'm sure.
I'm sure he did, yeah.
But is it like you're coming back each night, or are you there like almost like some Roman orgy or something?
Well, so the people who live in the town would probably just come back. But if people are visiting, I'm sure they're set up a room in the gigantic palace.
I don't know. That's just way too much partying, I think.
Yeah, but they're royals. What else do they do with their
time? We just talked about this with karaoke, right? Like, there's a time limit on these things. One night is enough, I think.
So I quite like the Rodgers and Hammerstein version. I like all versions of it. I like the Brandy one. I like the Leslie Ann Warren one. And I like the Julie Andrews one.
What does anything stand out? What would stand out? Because I've only seen the Brandy one, and I know one thing that stands out in the Brandy one.
What is it?
She's the first African American to portray Cinderella on screen.
Oh yeah, I didn't see race. So
as you should not have, because this movie is race blind, right?
Yes, like, which is so great.
Right, because uh-huh. Even when I saw it as a kid. At no point did I ever stop and ask myself, it's just like, why is Brandy black and why are her sisters white? Why is the prince Asian and why is Whoopi Goldberg his mother?
You know? Yeah, and Victor Garber is the dad.
Right,
yeah.
You know? So at no point did I ask myself these questions because you're just absorbed by the fashion and like the bright colors and all this stuff, right? Yeah. So you let go of it. It's very race blind, and I think to great effect. I don't know, are the other two...
No, they're not. They're all white.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I think works so well about the Brandy one. I mean, I think when it's a fairy tale, too, it's like, why the fuck not? You know, who has time to think about the logistics of or the science of it, any of this? Like, just, you know, everybody should just be whoever they want to be. It's a fairy tale. Let's have fun with it. Yeah. Which at the end of the day, too, is I'm sure what Cinderella is supposed to kind of be about is just fairy tale fun.
Right.
Like who, thinking, oh.
Who had the hottest prince?
That's all subjective. All
right, based off of your subjective tastes, as you've seen all three.
I guess I liked the one in the Brandy one because he, to me, was rather effeminate.
You thought he was effeminate?
I did.
I thought he was super masculine. He also had, like, a nice baritone voice.
Yeah.
Which I can't say that about the new prince.
Yeah, we'll talk about the new prince in a bit. But, you know, I guess just because he was the most memorable. I can't really remember the other guys. Leslie Ann and Julie, they stand out.
But who was the hotter Cinderella?
I mean, I'm partial to Julie Andrews because she's Julie Andrews.
I kind of want to look up a picture of Cinderella's outfit as Julie Andrews.
Yeah, do it. Again, remember, she was 21 there. This was, you know, right around when she first started My Fair Lady on Broadway. So she was just becoming a star.
Oh, this dress is hideous.
It gets a boot.
Brandy looked better.
That's Brandy opinion. Can't sing like Julie can. Oh, no. But she looked a lot better.
I will say that about Brandy. Yeah. Like, Whitney Houston, she is that. How Whitney Houston decided, because it was Whitney Houston apparently who said give the role to Brandy.
Yeah,
what good a blessing.
Whitney. Yeah, seriously,
you know. But I don't know, was Whitney doing that intentionally? It's just like, she will never be me, so she can have
maybe she role. Also just wanted not that much time on set, so she could do crack or something.
She...
I'm sorry.
She was a producer.
She was, yes. Yeah. Yes. The other thing that I like about Rodgers and Hammerstein is that they make buffoons out of the stepmother and the stepsisters. You know?
They do.
And it's comical. So it's not as harsh as... Because the Disney one could at times be like, Jesus.
No, they're just mean. They're just vicious.
It's dark, yeah. But, like, you know, you roll your eyes and you're, like, laughing at the stepsisters and the stepmother. And Bernadette Peters is fantastic. She's one of my all-time favorite performers. She's in Into the Woods, which you should totally see. She's a character. She's a witch.
Oh.
But, yeah. Into the Woods. And the Cinderella song in Into the Woods is
Did she always play the witch?
Into the woods? Yeah. She's the witch next door. Yeah. It's really good. You should watch it. Right. So other versions of Cinderella that we want to talk about. Do you want to bring up any that you want to talk about?
I mean, so when we were talking about covering this episode, my initial reaction was like, God, how much Cinderella is there? that I see. But then when I was doing my own inventory of Cinderella things I've seen, it turned out there were a lot more. First that came to mind was Hilary Duff's A Cinderella Story, because that one decided to take the Cinderella story and take it to California. And in this one, she is a high school girl who works in a diner for her wicked stepmother, that was left by her deceased father. Regina,
always with the dead dads.
Of course, there's a dead dad, obviously. That's like a trope in Cinderella. So Regina King is another employee at the diner. Hilary Duff has dreams of going to Princeton, which I think is what a stretch of the imagination that is. No offense, Hilary. I love you, but come on. Nah. Like, not the characters that you were playing back then. But she wanted to go to Princeton, so these are her dreams. And then her mom was just like, nah, you're going to work here forever. Basically, he's a slave almost, right? And she has, like, this pen pal who turned out to be the hottest guy in school. So at the they have a Halloween party. And at the Halloween party, they decide to meet up. And she had no idea that he was, like, the hottest guy in school, right? Played by Chad Michael Murray. But, like, she never took off her mask, so he had no idea who she was, because she was a nobody. She was just a girl who works at the diner. Anyway, Jennifer Coolidge is a delight in this movie.
Oh, Jennifer Coolidge is always a delight.
Yeah, she's so... Yeah. And she plays a great villainous stepmom. And this is one they also do that thing where there's no redeeming quality in her or the Wade Sepp sisters.
Oh, okay.
Right? But don't worry, Hilary Duff gets hers.
Oh, that's good. I was worried.
I was too, I was watching the movie.
Yeah.
Eddie, you see this movie too, right? What are your thoughts?
It was okay. It's not my favorite Cinderella story.
Do you have a favorite?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
I think I could guess it, but let me hear it.
It's actually a gender twist on this called Cinderfella.
Oh.
Played by Jerry Lewis in 1960.
Yep,
I've never heard of this. Okay.
Yeah. I remember watching this as a little kid, and I just love this idea. So same concept. His father passes away.
It's always a dad.
Yeah, the father passed away. And here the situation is that all the money is left to what he thinks is all the money is with the stepmother. His stepmother and his two stepbrothers.
Uh-huh.
And they make him live in an unfinished part of the mansion and be the butler. But supposedly he has these visions, these dreams. His father's trying to tell him that he hid his secret. He has a secret fortune that's hidden.
Hmm.
And he's trying to give the message of where to find it. And it kind of all leads to this ball where Princess Charming is there. And he gets changed into a prince for that night to attend the ball.
Aww.
And stuff. And just kind of like, it's like a venture of like figuring out, there's like the mystery of the secret fortune and him falling in love with Princess Charming.
I'm looking at the pictures. He's cute.
Yeah, it was very like this, you know, Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, besides getting comedy, you get song, you get dance, you get the whole shebang with him. And men's outfits at their best in that time.
Now, should I know who Jerry Lewis is? I don't know. Oh, I don't think God. I've ever seen it. Jerry Lewis.
I want a divorce.
I think he's pretty famous. He's an old time.
I know the
comedian.
Name. I don't think I've ever seen a Jerry Lewis movie, though.
Well, he did the original Nutty Professor.
Oh, okay.
He was in a comedy team with Dean Martin, Martin and Lewis. So they did a couple things together. He had their own TV show.
Yeah, they worked a lot together.
They worked, like 10 films.
Steve Martin?
No, Dean Martin.
Oh, Dean Martin.
Yeah. And he has his famous telethon that he does every year.
Jerry Lewis Foundation.
Okay, all right. Okay, got it.
So,
which he's done for many years.
Oh, this is what's it called? This movie does look cute. He's actually very cute. I think he's like very.
Yeah, he's very like comedy and very one of the first people I very appreciate with the whole physical comedy.
Yes.
You know,
and he does a very like goofy persona. Yeah. Mm. He did that very early in his career and stuff. So he kind of went in through different periods, but. Yeah, so.
Cinderfella. Our first gender swap. And actually, it's so interesting. We don't get a lot of gender swap with Cinderella.
We don't. There's a British animation short that I remember growing up watching from the 90s called Prince Cinders.
Of course. You've and seen that British was short when
yes.
you were growing up.
My aunt worked at like this distribution company of like independent films, and she would always give us these random films. And I think that's part of where I got a lot of my appreciation for it from. But yeah, it was like Prince Cinders, and you know, he's the rightful heir, but he has like these three like bears who are his stepbrothers. They're bears. They're like really chunky and really hairy. They're like, "Oi, Cinders, wash my jeans."
Wait, do you mean like gay bears?
I mean, when I watch it now, because I recently rewatched it, I thought they were gay.
Initially, I thought you meant like bears, like Goldilocks.
And yeah, was like, no, they're like gay bears. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. But instead of being like turned into like a handsome thing, he gets turned into an ape. When he goes to the, it's like a comedy. It's wild. It's okay. Out there. Check out Prince Cinders on YouTube. It's it's so British, and it's actually pretty entertaining. And Jennifer Saunders is the voice of the fairy godmother, who she does the fairy godmother Trek too.
So she's good at playing
the fairy godmother. Yeah, she is great. Another version of Cinderella that I just want to talk about is Ever After.
Yes, a Cinderella story. Is that
no? It's just Ever After.
No, there's like a subtitle. It's like Cinderella.
It might be
a Cinderella Ever After,
a Cinderella story, tale, maybe. Or something like that, or Cinderella retelling.
Something.
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's just stop taking guesses.
To the archives.
Yeah, it is Ever After a Cinderella story.
A Cinderella story.
I remember watching this on HBO like all the time.
It was like the only two movies that they had on repeat all the time. And you could catch it so randomly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
4 o'clock in the afternoon or two in the morning.
I watched this on repeat because of it.
Wait, I'm
so glad you remember that too.
My mom watches a lot of HBO. And, like, it's back, guys. It is also, like, constantly playing on TV.
Really?
At the moment, yes.
That's hilarious. Well, this is, you know, this is back when it was, when you had cable and mm-hmm. you had to go through TV and stuff. So, but, yeah, so the reason why I like Ever After, other than the fact that I'm quite charmed by Drew Barrymore as a person, is that they wanted to tell the Cinderella story, but realistically. So they put it in, you know, in quotation marks. So they put it in Renaissance era France. Mm-hmm. And they took away all the fantastical elements.
Wait, this was set in France?
Yes.
Drew Barrymore made no effort in portraying a French lady.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, Hollywood whitewashed it. Like, come on. Like, they just...
The French are white! What are you talking about?
But they didn't actually pay respect to the people who lived there. They made them Americans. Okay. That's the term.
Because I remember the setup, right, in which, like, a queen or a noble lady has invited all these people to tell the real story, and she had the glass slipper, right? Do you remember how the movie starts?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, it's like the point of view from the actual queen. Or was she a queen or was she just a noble lady? I don't remember if she married an actual prince. I think it was the narrator of the story? Yeah, well, it was her in the future, as an old lady. Or was it her granddaughter now? I don't remember.
I don't remember, actually. Spoilers. It's
been a while I have seen this, but I do remember that the movie starts off with, like, this lady gathering, I don't know, journalists or storytellers or something to tell the real story. Anyway, the most memorable part of that movie is when Cinderella has had enough after being married off to some guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, "I will cut you from your navel to your nose."
Yes. Yeah. I liked Drew in this movie. I thought she did a good job. But what I liked about this movie too is that they actually humanized one of the stepsisters, right?
There was a
one who got off on being cruel, and there was one who actually had a lot of sympathy mm-hmm. and was nice. And that I think is always important, because I also think I'm one of those people that, like, if a person's going to be a certain way, I need to know why they're that way. Mm-hmm. You can't just make someone evil for no reason. And so they actually brought a lot of humanity to these characters. And Angelica Houston as the, you know, essentially
wicked
the
stepmom.
Wicked stepmom as Rodmilla, I thought was absolutely exquisite.
She would be the next most memorable thing.
I think, yeah, she did a fantastic job.
I mean, when we were talking about, like, our list of movies that we were going to talk, you asked me, it's like, Ever After. I'm like, yeah, the Angelica Houston movie, right? I think of it actually more so her movie
mm-hmm.
instead of Drew Barrymore, despite the fact that Drew Barrymore had the lead role. But, I mean, it was Drew Barrymore.
I think Angelica Houston, I like Drew Barrymore. Like I said, I'm very charmed by her as a person, but she can only really ever be Drew Barrymore. I think Angelica mm-hmm. Houston is an actress.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to dismiss Drew Barrymore. You know, some people, they do themselves very well.
I mean,
and that's fine.
I mean, I hate to also say this, but, like, she doesn't look like a Cinderella to me. I just feel like Cinderella should be more like Cameron Diaz. Oh, you know what? Give me a Lucy Liu. Give me a Lucy Liu, Cinderella.
Right? Well, that's also what I liked about this movie, was that it was more about who she was as a person.
Yeah.
Instead of Disney one where she's just beautiful. Because all of the other versions of Cinderella, you know that the prince would never fall in love with her if he knew who she really was.
Right.
But in Ever After, you got a sense of he really appreciated who she was as a person.
Right. And then she could also still take care of herself, is what we find out.
Exactly. Yes. Right? She was a fully formed person. Yeah. Yes.
I remember that.
So, and, you know, for the 90s, this is great, you know. And, like, for the fact that I was watching this on HBO, I think it also made me appreciate how you should tell a story like this, you know, and why I probably rejected the Cinderella Disney one as a kid, because it was never one of my favorites.
Do you remember her big reveal moment?
I do.
It's like the camera panning in on her, closing in on her, and she's wearing, I think it was like a green dress with like fairy wings.
Yes, yes.
Right? And I remember thinking, even as a kid, I was just like, that is the most lackluster dress I've ever seen in my life.
Aw. I like it just because also Drew Barrymore to me doesn't look like a movie star, you know, like she doesn't look uber glamorous.
It had nothing to do with like Drew Barrymore in the dress. It was just the dress itself.
Yeah. I see.
You know what it is? Maybe because I think what year did that one come out?
98.
Yeah. So that was after Brandy's, which had this ostentatious fashion. Which is what I want to see my Cinderella retellings in.
True. Yeah, it did come out the year after the Brandy one, yeah.
Yeah, so. I remember seeing the Brandy one before. God, I guess it was like a big renaissance for Cinderella stories.
Cinderella is coming, like, it comes every 5 years, I feel like. I mean, before this, the last one we got was 2015 with the Disney live-action remake with
Cate Blanchett.
She's the stepmother.
Oh, my God, thank God. I was about to say, she's like, there's no way.
She could do it. She's such a good actress, she could do it. But I'm actually upset that I didn't get to watch it and that I didn't remember Cate Blanchett was in it because I love Cate Blanchett. She's like my Hollywood actress crush.
No, I remember. So. Ocean's 8, we talked about.
Yes, we did. Yes. Yeah. So, but what we're really here to talk about, is the Amazon one. That's why we're here.
Amazon. It took us only an hour to get here.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got to talk fast because I got to go soon. But so it's 2021. This movie, I think, was supposed to come out last year. It wasn't even finished as of last year.
Oh.
So everything got pushed back last year.
So they were like refilming it?
Yeah, they had to pick up filming again and all this stuff. And I think it was supposed to be released in theaters. But of course, because of COVID, they decided to release it just to Amazon platforms.
Let's just say this real quick. Hang on. Real quick. Your thoughts. Do you think it would have made any money in the box office if it had gotten released
after its first week? Maybe not. I actually think that this movie got a lot of attention the first week. I think a lot of people were watching it, but I think that it's the perfect direct to Amazon like film.
I would agree for that for sure.
Like, yeah, I think that had it been in theaters, it might not have, you know, people wouldn't have gone, but they'll watch it when it's, you know, home. So
I mean, the only reason I knew this movie came out was because they did that stunt where like the cast danced on the highway. They closed off traffic, right?
Oh,
to do like a live act, like to sing in person on the highway in California. But I just saw all these people just complaining about it because it's like California is already congested as it is, like LA is already congested as it is with traffic. So imagine just being in that ambulance just waiting. Waiting for them to finish their musical.
Yes, I saw that too. Yes. Did you share that? Because I definitely.
I might have. Yeah. It was hilarious. You know.
Yeah. It was on James Corden, right? They did it on his show.
It maybe, yeah.
Yeah. See, another reason to not like James Corden.
Oh, hang on. Whoa. Everyone is just as guilty. Idina Menzel was there.
Oh, I know. I'm
Camila
joking.
Cabello.
I think
Billy Porter.
Let's talk about the cast then. So in this version of Cinderella, Camila Cabello is Cinderella. The evil stepmother is played by Idina Menzel, who you might know her from Wicked and Frozen fame. Mm-hmm. Billy Porter from Pose and Kinky Boots is the fairy godmother.
Kinky Boots?
Yes, like I just said.
Oh, did you say that? I'm sorry. You said Pose first, though.
Well, because probably more people know television.
He became a household name because of Pose, I would agree.
Do we know the prince's name?
No, I don't. And even when they showed it, I had no idea who he was. He must be like a TikToker or something.
A TikToker.
You know why I say that? Because like that's been the new trend. Like he's all that. The girl, the lead, she's a TikToker. That was a pre-qualification for her to get cast.
Interesting.
So for this, I feel like he was just a handsome TikToker they found.
His name is Nicholas Galitzine.
Yeah.
He's an English actor.
Oh, he is an actor.
Yeah.
So he's not a TikToker.
No, he was known. He acted in other stuff before Cinderella. High Strung, Handsome Devil.
You saw Handsome Devil.
Oh, we've seen Handsome Devil. He was in Handsome Devil?
Yeah.
Was he the rugby player? Was he the one that, like, they were crushing? Like, he was a gay kid.
Yeah.
I remember him now.
I think he was also in The Craft
one. Okay, all right, fine. So he has actual... Yeah.
So he's not a TikToker.
All right, good for him. I'm glad. I'm actually happy that he's not just like a TikToker.
We also got Pierce Brosnan as the king. We got Minnie Driver as the queen. We got mice. James Corden is one of the mice.
And then two other Englishmen. I don't know who they are.
Ramesh Ranganathan. Uh-huh. Oh, God, I said that terribly. Tallulah Grieve is the princess.
I don't know who that is.
She's the princess sister. I know the
princess. You say Tallulah, like I should know.
I'm just saying their names. Oh, I was the new cast.
I don't know who that is. Like, the only one I knew who it was Camila Cabello. I mean, and Idina Menzel.
Yeah, and they were the big stars.
Minnie Driver.
Minnie Driver. She should have had more to it. And this film was written and directed by Kay Cannon. And I think this is maybe her feature film debut.
Mm-hmm. Kay Cannon is a woman?
Kay Cannon is a woman.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that's good. So tell me more.
And I mean, that's really it. I know that Kay Cannon was known for writing and producing the Pitch Perfect series, and that's how she got this gig. And I think she also was a writer for 30 Rock, and for New Girl and Girl Boss. So,
okay,
you know, she has a lot on her belt, but I'm pretty sure that this is
her first like feature.
The first film she directed was a film called Blockers. Cock Blockers, but they called it Blockers. But then, yeah, her follow-up is Cinderella.
Okay.
Was that a comedy with John Cena?
I think so. Yeah, it is a comedy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Apparently, John Cena was really good. Like, that movie was actually really good. I've never seen it. I'm going to put that on my list of movies to watch.
Okay. So... So Cinderella is a jukebox musical, and a jukebox musical is when you take popular songs that play on the radio, you know, in the jukebox, and you put them into a story, right? Moulin Rouge was a jukebox musical, and are there other famous jukebox musicals that we could?
Yeah, Mamma Mia.
But that's technically...
Yeah, but it's still... It's
no, jukebox is a collection
of...
Oh, it has to be...
By an artist, but it's just usually the usual songs that you hear.
Yeah. Pop songs. Popular radio songs.
I thought it had to... I thought like that would also count.
I mean, you could technically qualify if you were to take like just like a popular like catalog of, you know, Frankie Valli and ABBA and Carole King. You could technically call those jukebox musicals, but in this respect... we're speaking more so of like a very like a bunch of what do they call that? What do they call not a collaboration, a combination, compilation?
Oh, okay.
That's the word. Compilation. It's a compilation.
I also drew a blank, Nicole. Don't worry. Yeah. It's late in the day, you know. I get it.
So Moulin Rouge to me is the most famous one, and I actually saw a lot of similarities in the song choices that they used in Moulin Rouge. Like Moulin Rouge, they used a Madonna song. They used a Queen song.
Mm.
They did a lot of mashups, and they did a lot of similar choices, I thought.
That movie with Christina Aguilera and Cher.
Burlesque. Yeah, that is a jukebox musical. I've never seen good.
It, but I'm pretty sure it was.
A jukebox musical?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Coyote Ugly.
Did they sing in that, or did they just dance?
Oh.
They
just dance. Oh, never mind then.
Yeah, it's not a musical then.
That's not true. They sang because the whole point is that they wrote the Jewel song. Can't make the moonlight. That's a whole. That's literally what this movie's about. This one girl, like, she started off at Coyote Ugly, then she writes a song for Jewel. Or Leanne Rimes. I forget who it is.
It's been a minute since I've seen Coyote Ugly, so I'm just going to take your word on that.
Let's talk about Cinderella.
Yeah, let's talk about Cinderella. So
no, because it's another Rags to Riches stories, guys.
So the moment this film begins, we get singing. And it begins with, to me, a very interesting choice, which is Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation.
So TikTok really went crazy for this song because they really isolated. I had no idea. They only isolated a part, which is the two stepsisters singing off key. We are Rhythm Nation.
We are a part of the rhythm.
Yeah. And then like they're very off key and pitchy. Right, so that's the part that like TikTok focused on as like the prime example for like the movie, and I thought it's just like, oh, this is not gonna be good, this is awful, and then when I saw it, I was just like, oh no, they're literally supposed to be bad because like they're the Wicked Stepsisters, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I was just like, all right, TikTok kind of blew this one out of the water. I mean, there's many reasons to complain. That is not.
Well, we should never take a 10-second depiction of something as, you know, an example. Shouldn't. Of something.
That's how I live my life.
Have you not met my husband?
Yeah.
You know, so when I first started the film, and it started this way. I was at first taken aback by the choice. I just thought it was a bizarre choice. But then, you know, the more I thought about it, I'm like, okay, so you're letting us know this is a musical. We are a part of a rhythm nation. Pretty much, we're going to be singing and dancing this movie.
Yeah.
But it's still, I never really kind of got with the flow of this film, I guess I could say. And I love musicals. I'm a sucker. That's my genre. I'm there at Broadway. I love it. I love old movie musicals. I'm there for everything. Yet, something about the approach that this took with the musical, I couldn't get into it.
Interesting. Well, I don't like musicals.
Yes, I know.
Right?
Yes.
So, however, for me, I think eventually at a certain point I was just like, all right.
I mean, you know, you gotta accept it from the moment you sit down to watch a musical that they're gonna be singing. You can't complain. You can't not get into it.
I actually liked Rhythm Nation.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, outside of when I heard that little portion where the girls were off key, right? I was like, oh, this is actually not a bad rendition of this song. And so then from there, I already had very low, like a low, like really, really low bar here for this movie going in. And so, because I had such low expectations, the movie exceeded them, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it came to the point where, like, by the time I was done with Rhythm Nation and maybe a couple of songs later, I had to get over Camila Cabello because, like, I don't know.
Yeah, she was okay. I mean, they wanted to make her, like, a quirky, awkward thing. You know, that's how you win people's hearts now in this, like, junior millennial Gen Z era.
But
like,
she's just no Zooey Deschanel, you know? Because that's what they were trying to make her out to be. Like, when
they were trying to make her to be what?
Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, my gosh. That is a dated reference at this point.
Excuse you, New Girl is still popular with Zoomers.
With
they watch that
all
on
elder millennials, not the junior
the
millennials.
Zoomers are watching
or Gen
it on
Z.
Netflix. Don't you come for me here? All right.
I feel like Zooey Deschanel had her day, but I could see what you're saying. Yes, she set the example, right? You need to be quirky. You need to be awkward. You need to be quote real, right?
And cute.
And cute.
Right.
Yeah, cute is important too. And they really tried to make her that. I don't know if I got sold on this whole persona because at times I also kind of thought that it was a little too awkward. Like when
really?
She was talking to herself or, you know, when she was out like trying to sell her garments and, you know, her interactions at first with the prince. Like I didn't find any of that like, oh, chemistry. I thought it was all just awkward.
Well, that's because he was also kind of awkward too, though.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm going to just sum up how I feel about this movie.
Okay, go.
I'm there for the idea. I'm not there for the execution.
Gotcha. Okay, so I found myself there for the idea, and I found myself okay with the execution. You know what it... So, I guess for me, it was just like... I don't know what it was. I guess at a certain point, the movie just wore me down. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was going to, like, give up on this movie when they did the Queen song, Find Me Someone to Love, because I wasn't a fan of his singing in it. But I loved the chorus in the background, right? Like,
yes.
But then, so I was just like, it was like a struggle, right? So my body, my mind is just like fighting. It's just like, you hate this. No, but the chorus is so good in the background, but you hate this. It's so bad.
But it's such a great song.
But it's such a good song. Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point, the music won out. And I ended up saying, it's just like, all right, I'm just here for this. I'm just here for this ride.
It actually made me think of that Anne Hathaway movie, Ella Enchanted, where she sang Somebody to Love. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to get yet another Cinderella thing where they sing Somebody to Love.
I've
like,
never
really?
Seen Ella Enchanted.
Oh, is it because you're a Hathaway hater?
No, I love Anne Hathaway.
Oh, that's right. You do like her.
Yeah, I can't explain the Hathaway. I was curious, like, where does that come from, this Hathaway hate?
We named the episode that. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, so in Ella Enchanted, she does sing Somebody to Love. So to me, I was just like, I mean, maybe my memory is exceptional, but I'm like, is nobody else here thinking about Ella Enchanted? Like, this is the same exact Cinderella story with the same exact song choice. I thought it was a little odd.
Was Ella Enchanted? Oh.
Ella Enchanted is a Cinderella story, yeah.
Shut up. I didn't know that. I never saw it. It makes sense now.
But, I mean, that's just, I don't know. I guess what it is that being that I'm an editor and that I pay a little bit too much attention to things like editing, the way that this film was edited was like a music video.
Yeah.
And that threw me off. Now, yeah. Well, seriously. But at the same time, there are musicals out there, like La La Land, which was a very recent film.
Never saw
that. That doesn't edit like a music video and actually is very cinematic.
You know what music, what musical directed, edited like a music video and it drove me crazy?
What?
We saw it, In the Heights.
Yeah,
that's a movie. That's one where I think the music and like as a whole worked, but sometimes the editing was just too crazy.
Yes,
that it was just it was just driving me crazy. I'm just like, ooh, just hold the shot. Like, I want to see the dance numbers.
Exactly. This is why, you know, I'm like, my favorite movie musicals, Singing in the Rain, West Side Story, Sound of Music, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies, you know, they hold the shots. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times where you could be cinematic and you could cut and do really fancy editing, and there are times where you could just let the shot play.
Yeah.
And I don't think this movie had a shot that lasted for more than 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think when it was most jarring was when they did What a Man and Seven Nation Army.
Yeah.
And that one was like...
all over the place.
Five cuts per second, you know what I mean? Like, that one was
I could just see they have, like, their multicam set up, you know, on their editing platform, and they're just literally every 5 seconds they're changing from one camera to the next.
Every three seconds was, like, an edit.
And that's distracting, you know, especially, like, when they had those, like, Hamilton town criers come.
Oh, well, that was just, like, that was kind of painful. Those were my most painful parts to watch, to be
honest. These people are just standing there as town criers, and we're cutting every 3 seconds, and there's, like, 10 different shots that I'm looking at. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Well, I guess I disliked those parts because I just felt just like, okay, someone watched Hamilton last night.
Yeah, right? They're like, this is what the kids like. This is the popular musicals. We got to do this.
Let's get back into... All right, so...
why don't we talk about performances?
Yeah, fine. Let's talk about performances. Camila Cabello, I have beef with her because of her racist past, but I guess, as Eddie reminded me, maybe don't accuse someone of being racist just for posting racist stuff once, I guess.
All right, don't do that.
What?
That you're right. Horrible paraphrasing.
Isn't that what you said?
I was not even aware of her situation. Okay. I didn't know her.
Hang on. Should I fill in the audience in case you don't know?
What?
So when she was 14 or 15, she had a Tumblr and she posted some very, very racist.
14 or 15.
I get
15.
It. Hang on. But in Fifth Harmony, her colleagues, her bandmates, I guess, right? She was in a band, Fifth Harmony. They've also said it's just like she was a horror to work with because she was low-key racist.
Mm.
They've come out and said it themselves. Normani comes to mind. But, however, as Eddie pointed, it's just like, well, hang on. Like, you can't, like, judge someone based off of sometimes, you know, sometimes people say racist things. You probably said it better, but go ahead. Say it, Eddie. How would you have said it?
I said, like, that can't just be your entire life. Some people make mistakes.
Yes.
And for whatever particular reason why she said that, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know who this person is and stuff like that. I don't know what I wanted. I just wanted to, like, when you said that she's a racist, I'm just like, where does this come from? Sometimes people are stupid.
Don't get carried away with cancel culture.
And Eddie is 100% right on that. Like, I can't. That's a broad stroke. I can't make that accusation.
But it's not acceptable at all.
Of course.
Once again,
you could call out the behavior.
Not acceptable at all.
Which is why I was surprised that she got cast, because I thought she was canceled, but I guess she clawed her way to be Cinderella. She
clawed her way. The terms you were using, you clearly do not like
her. I don't. You don't know. They probably begged her. Threw money at her.
She clawed her way. Fighting like she
beat cancel culture.
Yes. You know? I don't know anything about her. The only thing I didn't even know she was in Fifth Harmony until I read about her. You know, the only thing I knew was the Havana song.
Havana, which I sadly like. I won't.
Again, sadly like.
I know, because it's not a good song. That song is not good. That song is like 2 minutes long and like it's Havana.
Repetitive.
Nah, nah.
It's not creative.
It is fucking catchy as all hell.
Well, that's what it takes to, you know, write a song these days. Just be catchy. That's about it.
I mean, the lyrics some of the lyrics don't even make sense. Yeah. Or when the rapper comes in.
Now, was she born in Havana, Cuba?
She's Cuban.
Cuban. Is this our first Latin American? Well, she's not American. Well, she's American. Is she our first Latinx Cinderella?
Ever? Maybe not, but at least for this episode, yes, she is.
So I did a little research. We did have, but you know, not as a movie, but as a Cinderella character in Once Upon a Time was represented by a Latina.
Oh, what's
actress.
Her name?
Fuck you.
Eddie coming in with the facts, and then when we answer, it's like, whoa.
I'm sorry, wrong question to ask.
Well, Eddie finds that out. Yes. I know Camila Cabello only because she's also dating... I told you that she's dating Shawn Mendes. And, like,
You think it's a fake relationship?
No, I don't think it's fake. But, like, if you ask gay Twitter, they think it's fake. And that this poor couple is just getting, like, just mercilessly like ridiculed because, you know, they're a couple and they think she's a beard and then they think he's in the closet and it's just horrible. These poor pop stars. Whether or not
they're these poor pop stars.
Well, I feel bad because it's just like even if this is still his journey, even if he was like in the closet, you know what I mean? Like you can't.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to any of that.
I'm very much in tune with like gay Twitter, so.
Yeah. Damn, I should be more on top of gay things.
Oh, gay Twitter is so vicious. It is. Oh,
I'm sure.
I mean, the best way to describe it is like someone said, "Is like, what is it like to be a gay celebrity?" Well, the gay community, and then they put a gif of like when, Oren Ishii. Mm-hmm. You know, when she's like, tear that bitch apart! Like,
yeah, that's nice, it. Like, yes.
That
yes,
is gay Twitter.
That's great Twitter. I like that.
Okay, so this character is represented as a teenager. The actress was named Alejandra Perez. And as an adult version of this the same character, Dania Ramirez.
Oh, okay. So they kept her in the same. Oh, good. I'm glad.
That's awesome. That's great. So Camilla isn't the first.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely isn't the best by far. I did not find I thought she was, like I said, she was more awkward than anything else for me.
She's very mousy,
which works because, you know, mice is a big thing with Cinderella, you know. But
Eddie, why are you rolling your eyes at me?
Jesus,
is that not a good word?
We should have like a rule, at least say one good thing about the fucking person.
She's a good singer.
God, you know what? I actually might have a hard time saying that because I also didn't like the dress. This isn't Camila Cabello's fault or like the actors, but like the dresses that she was designing were kind of ugly. Were they not?
Yeah, I mean, going from the dresses we saw in Cruella to another fashion designing character, a Disney one, to this.
No, you know what it is? It drove me crazy. It's just like they have like these awesome fashion on the girls during that that Seven Nation Army number. Like those looks were great.
Yes, and it's
just like, but why did they give her like the ugly ones? Like, why couldn't they give the ugly ones to these girls and then give her some of these nice dresses to show off?
Yeah, I did find her dresses to be rather lackluster. I will agree with you there. There wasn't a wow factor for me, you know? Yeah. The only reason I bring Cruella up was because it was a clear wow factor, like the design in that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So if you're going to have a character who's a designer, you know, you kind of should kind of make us all be like, wow, I get it. She's talented. She should pursue this. And I didn't really think that.
Like when the princess wore her first dress that she sold, I was just like,
okay.
Ew. And the gloves made them even worse.
I was more impressed with the fact that they wanted to make the Cinderella actually have a goal in mind, you know, a future for herself that she was trying to, you know, like, hey, this is more important than love. Me and my desires and my future.
And picking
that
me.
That was something,
yeah.
We never really got that before with Cinderella. And I appreciated that.
I actually found myself very, very much. I love that part of this movie where she wanted to be a businesswoman, right? She wanted to change things up.
Yes, for
it
sure.
I mean, it felt preachy at times, but like, it felt good. Kind of preachy.
Yeah, like I accepted it and I appreciated it. Like I said, I was there for the idea, not so much for the execution. So I'm like, oh, I love what you're trying to go for here, but you know, you're not tugging at my heartstrings.
Right. Well, but I think they did a good job though. The reason I think the execution, at least when it comes to this part of the storyline, worked very well was because they were also giving the prince a similar struggle that ended up paying off at the end, right? I wish they had elaborated more so with the sister. So that way we got to... I mean, they kept hinting, like, you know, she's going to be like an AOC type character, right? She's very progressive with her, with like her policy. But I wish we had just a little bit more of her to really see the contrast between the siblings and like why she would be obvious. She's the obvious choice to be the leader.
So this is one of the things I do agree with you guys, is that sense, like they had interesting supporting characters in this that I really feel I would have taken less music and fleshed out these characters more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
I would have, like, maybe, because, you know, the prince came with his boys, right? Which I feel like wasn't necessary.
No, they were wallpaper.
I think we could have all done with one best friend, you know? Because there was that sweet moment when his best friend says, that calls him out on his shit. And he says, and I say this because I'm your best friend.
Yeah.
I'm your best friend, right? You know, like, I just, that was sweet. You know, like, you know, that little moment of friendship. And, but like those, like, I wish like that, like develop that. I thought the queen was quite interesting. I'm also a big fan of Minnie Driver. I love her.
I love Minnie Driver.
So I just felt like, you know, that moment, like when she, you know, moments where she, could have stand out a little bit more, was be more forceful in the relationship that she's had with the king. And yeah, the princess, even the stepsisters were kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, one of them was giving me very rebel, the comedian rebel energy.
Oh, yeah.
You
okay.
know, in her performance. But I just thought, like, they weren't, you know, even, the, you know, the stepmom, which I love great that this wasn't about them being total assholes in a vacuum.
Yes.
That the mom is the way she is, the mom the way she is, because she knows what it is to have a dream. And that, and then losing it, you know, mm-hmm. or it being worthless in your in the place that you live, you know, like yeah. if you're you know you play a piano, but there's really no one to play to,
exactly.
or no one can ever appreciate your talent, you know. Uh-huh. So that's like I'm hard on you because I don't want you to suffer, and I see a lot of real parents like that too. So
absolutely.
So I just felt like a lot of these things could have been fleshed out.
You said that. Why did you look at me when you said that?
A lot of these things could be fleshed out. I would have taken less of the singing and more of kind of some good dialogue.
I agree.
That reminds me of a question I had. The best friend, was there a... I thought they were building up that one of them was going to come out to the other and they were going to be like a couple, but that never happened. Did you not get that vibe when they were looking for Cinderella?
Yeah,
I kind of
got that too. Yeah. Yeah, I got that.
Like, there was going to be a confession.
Rudy. Yeah, I did understand like the when he finally gets words... And I was like, oh, where's this going? I mean, he didn't have to be like that. But then it's like, I just felt like, okay, he said this.
I thought he, and then he looked, and then we even focus a lot, the shot focuses a lot on the friend.
Yeah, the moment, like looking like, across, like it's like, the guy saying it, and then looking at the other guy. The guy saying it, looking at the other guy. I was like, what, you know, like, what are we doing here? I would have totally like, okay, great. Then this is adding a little more depth to this character that didn't really do much. Unfortunately,
the film focuses a lot on Cinderella, the prince, and the stepmother, right? Mm-hmm. This is a feminist film, and they want to bring more depth to these three characters who are quite simple in every other version. You know, stepmother's evil, Cinderella is just kind of passive, and the prince is just rescues her. That's it.
Right.
But we give more complexity to these three characters, and that's great. I did really like what they did with the stepmother in particular. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of this essay by Virginia Woolf called The Room of One's Own, where, you know, she talks, amongst other things, about the fact that Shakespeare had a sister and she was just as brilliant as Shakespeare.
What?
But because she was a woman, she, you know, nobody paid any attention to her and she actually died in obscurity. And it's like, you know, Virginia Woolf highlights all the brilliant women throughout the years that we never got to know or to hear from simply because they were women.
Oh.
So this character, Idina Menzel, it's a brilliant essay. And Virginia Woolf is just, God, she's a fucking genius. I can't talk more highly of Virginia Woolf. But they actually shine on that with Idina Menzel's character, where she's like, I wanted to be a pianist, you know, and I actually had ambition, but my role as a woman, you know, was so much greater than me and was so expected of me that, you know, I got denied of a basic human right.
Yeah.
So they provide her with that story, and that's why she is the way she is, right? That's why she's kind of a bitch. You know, this she's not as evil, but she is kind of fucked up, and she does, you know, she's like a very, like, Jane Eyre figure. Like, there's a character, the Jane Eyre's stepmother, is pretty much the way they went with this one. She treats her the same way and looks at her like, hey, you should be grateful that I'm watching over you now that your dad's dead.
Oh my God, Nicole, mm-hmm. We get it. You read.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
I love that's what you got of everything she just said. Like, if she name drops another fucking book author, I'm gonna explode.
However, with this music, right, and with the focus on these two characters, it does come at the loss of expanding on everyone else's character. They become B and C characters, right? They don't get as fully fleshed out. Like, just when you watch a sitcom, there's the A story and the B story. And the B story, you know, we don't spend as much time on it, but it gets its nice little bow at the end. So all these characters, for the most part, get their bows at the end, but we don't spend any real time with them. And that's also why it felt more like a direct-to-Amazon movie.
It did.
To me, because things were not fully fleshed out, and also the digital filmmaking and the editing of it. Just, again, I was like, oh, I really saw what you were going for, but you didn't really sell me on it. And the choice of ending it with Let's Get Loud was interesting.
That was a bold choice.
That was, yeah. I mean, hey, look, I'm all for Gloria Estefan, but, like, she wrote that song.
She wrote it.
Yeah, J-Lo might have performed it.
Yeah, but Jennifer Lopez is the first singer of it, though,
yes,
right?
But Gloria Estefan wrote it.
I didn't know that Gloria Estefan wrote it.
I'm going to give it to my homegirl Gloria before I
give it to
J-Lo. Give it to
Gloria because she's the writer. But I'm just saying, it's just like, let's recognize
the writer
J-Lo
of the song.
J-Lo is...
The writer of the song.
Not the writer,
is
but
Gloria
like the
Estefan.
Performer. That was a World Cup song, ma'am.
No.
Wasn't it?
I thought that was for the World Cup.
Wasn't like... I'm pretty sure Let's Get Loud was a World Cup song.
I thought it was the other song.
I know. Ole, ole, ole. That was another World Cup
song. Oh, that was a World Cup song?
But I could have sworn that Let's Get Loud was another World Cup song. But we're getting lost in the weeds here, guys, but...
Okay, yeah. It was filmed at the 1999 FIFA Women's World Cup.
Ah, for women.
For women.
So so I guess maybe this is an apropos song to end on, I suppose. Plus, Gloria Estefan is Cuban. American.
She is, yes.
Right? So, and Havana.
And Havana Unana, right?
Yeah, exactly. She's also from Havana Unana.
So, you know, I mean, even the meshing of One Man and Seven Nation Army, like the times the movie just made me look at it and be like, this was a choice. You have Billy Porter and you're going to give him three speaking lines and then Shining Star and then that's it.
I have a theory.
That's it.
And I it wasn't.
Is it about Camila Cabello's racism?
No. Maybe. No. My actual theory, though, was that I don't know if I still actually don't know 100% if they filmed that scene together. I actually think that because like a lot of the shots that you have those two together, they're like either very far apart. Or it's like one back towards the other. And I actually think that he might have been added in after.
And that's why his scene was so minimal?
I think so. That's my theory.
The thing was that they didn't finish the scene. And they had to do some things over again.
Maybe. I mean, you said that like COVID. Yeah. So there's very many reasons why this could have happened.
And her transforming dress had to be done on green screen soundstage.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just thinking... It seemed like they weren't present together. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Billy Porter was a nice breath of fresh air, though. In his performance,
loved every moment.
Yeah, it was. I wish he was there for longer.
So my only beef, though, is that it felt like just Billy Porter, and that's because that's how we now know Billy Porter.
Yeah, he does this what he does so well that now he's falling into what even Al Pacino and Jack Nicholson fell into, where now we just want to see them do that. Mm. You know, you just want to see Al Pacino go hoo ha. You know. So, like, that's what Al Pacino does now. And that happens to all the stars, unfortunately.
I think, but this movie did make me want to see Billy Porter as Ursula.
Oh, my God. She would make a great Ursula.
I love every moment.
I mean, the only one who I think would have been better would have been Titus.
Titus Burgess. Yeah.
He'd be a great Ursula.
And Eureka too. Would be a great Ursula.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
I think yes. so. Thank
can't,
you.
There's no way she could sing Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Doesn't lip sync. That's what drag queens do.
You know what? All right, fine.
But you guys always say actually, that. It would be kind of funny if it played like that.
Where she lip synced?
Where she lip syncs well, as the character.
She takes Ariel's voice and lip syncs to it. Yeah.
Damn, that actually would have been...
We should be the writers.
You guys don't need to say that, though, because Eureka looks like Divine, who was the inspiration to Ursula, though, I feel like. Where maybe. I think the casting of Titus Burress and or even Billy Porter as Ursula, granted, this is all hypothetical and never going to happen, but that seems a little bit more, casting them because like they can bring something new to the character.
Point taken. I just don't want... people to be outraged that, you know, the villains are black because we should have the heroes.
Yeah, but if Ariel's black also. I think it should have gone all black. No, you know who is Ursula, right?
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, which I'm not... I mean, I love Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I wanted to see her as Ursula.
Mm. Good point.
Anyway, back to Cinderella.
I do need to wrap up.
I mean, yeah, Billy Porter, severely missed. I think they could have... He was in opening and he was like the narrator at the end. The end on Billy Porter. You're right. I want more Billy Porter.
I always want more Billy Porter. So,
what we got was fabulous.
Oh, God, yeah.
That outfit was just giving it to me.
Mm-hmm. And good song. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. So,
yes.
Although I thought the song choices were very vapid overall. I mean, did you feel that, because it was like, oh, right, she's glittering, she's shining, cool, shining star, whatever. Did you think that this Cinderella was needed?
Only because of the messaging?
Yeah.
I found myself struggling. I knew this question was coming, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of was like kind of figuring out what my answer was going to be. And I think only because of its messaging that will I say, fine. It was widely available for free because of Amazon Prime. And a lot of people have Amazon Prime. So you know what? Ain't going to hurt you to maybe those 2 hours. You'll never win them back. But
yeah.
There are worse things you watch. You know.
But it's a big... I guess I'm always saying this in the sense of like it's a beginning, because I watched, I forcefully watched it for the podcast, but I stayed for the possibility of what this story could have been. And I really liked the whole twist in the sense of like, whether it's about money at the end of the day, like her pursuing a career, or her marrying a prince, but it's about her, you know, putting like saying I put myself first, and it's not selfish to do that. It's like, I'm not what a message I would love if I had a daughter to get is like, you know, I'm not my happy ending or my life pursuit or goal should be marrying a man who's my prince.
Yep.
But more fulfilling the dream of what I want to be, like truly want to be that, the thing that would truly, the fulfillment of who I am,
yeah,
not the fulfillment of who I am in this relationship, but just, you know, who I am.
You know, to piggyback off of that, I'm really happy to be born in a day and age where we're revisiting classics. We're taking stories that we all are familiar with, and we're looking at them in new ways. This is big in movies. This is big in literature. Like what they did for the Wicked Witch of the West, and then they made Wicked, right? She wasn't just a wicked witch. She was actually a person who became that way for a reason, or was labeled that way. You know, they did it with this great book, Circe, that Eddie and I read. For Greek mythology.
Another book, you know? Reference.
So it's like, here are these classic stories that we've been told work this way for, and that these are the people and these are the reasons that they do things. And now we're in an era where we're actually putting that under a magnifying glass and being like, is that really the story? Mm-hmm. Is there another perspective? Is there things that we never got from the original readings or original viewings or original tellings of these stories, right?
Constructing it.
So yeah, so we're doing just this whole new relationship, and we're redefining things, which is what I am enjoying. You know, these things can remain the way that they are, remain untouched, but now added new layers to it. And that's something that they're trying to do with Cinderella, because as we said it earlier in this podcast, this story has taken many forms over thousands of years, right? So there is not one single telling of Cinderella. Cinderella is constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. She's constantly changing. So I enjoy the ever-evolving, like the name of the article that I'm going to put in the show notes, Cinderella story.
Right.
This wasn't my favorite, but I enjoy the new approaches and the new takes and how we're like, you know what, in 2021, Cinderella, yeah, she actually cares more about being, you know, a fashion designer than she cares about marrying the prince. I'm here for it. So in that, I'm going to say it was needed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. The only question remains, where is our gay Cinderella?
Well, yeah. Where's our Cinderella with all the guys, though?
Which is all guys, yeah.
And so. Cinderella with all girls.
Or yeah, or Cinderella with all girls.
Ooh, should we make it?
Nah.
Oh.
I don't have the energy.
It's like, I'm tired. I want to go to sleep.
But I don't know, guys. You tell us what you think. Have you seen the new Cinderella on Amazon Prime? Or have you seen any of the other Cinderellas? What's your favorite? Let us know. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. Where else can they hit us up, Nicole?
Instagram at remakesrebootsrevivals. Gmail, please send us an email and share us your thoughts or any opinions you may have on this episode or our podcast, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at remakespodcast. We might soon be on TikTok, so keep a lookout for that. And we do have a hotline that you can call in and share your thoughts. What's that number, Rolando?
Yeah, you guys can cut us a call and leave a voicemail at any time. Our number is 862-248-2326. That's 862-248-2326. Call us. We want to hear from you guys.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, please find us on Apple Podcasts and leave a review, share your thoughts, and, you know, tell your friend and help spread the word, because we love doing this podcast for you guys.
Mm-hmm. And with that said,
stay unoriginal.